Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're all having a great decade. Thank you for coming to this talk. My name is Gaurav Daga. I'm a program manager with Microsoft working on the Azure Site Recovery and InMaj product groups. A key focus of my job is thinking about scenarios for service providers and what kind of product roadmap investments and service investments should we make in Azure Site Recovery so that it becomes the platform on which you can unlock new business opportunities by offering disaster recovery as a service. With me, co-presenting is Daniel Downing. Daniel is the director of Microsoft and productivity platforms at Tieto Corporation, one of our Finnish partners as part of the CloudOS network program. They are one of the first partners that have implemented Azure Site Recovery in production and have a commercial DR as a service offer based on it. So we invited Daniel over to share his experiences, and you'll get to hear from him direct as to what they went through while they were thinking through their DR offer and how they implemented and deployed it with Azure Site Recovery. So we have a lot of content today, and we have a couple of new feature announcements that I'll be doing and also demonstrating right after those announcements. So we have content that we'll breeze through a little bit and then hopefully have questions at the end, time for questions around 10 to 15 minutes. So let's get started. Business continuity is a complex topic. So let's first go through the kind of challenges that we face in business continuity. If I were to summarize, you know, a true business continuity plan and its roadblocks, essentially business continuity is complex, it's very hard to implement right, it's time-consuming, it's expensive, and it's error-prone. So there are many ways by which you can actually, you know, overcome these obstacles, and this is what Microsoft solutions are out to help you with. Because of the complexity, we believe that automation is key. So whatever you see today is all focused around automation. There also needs to be really tight integration between your systems and your data. You also need a wide array of offerings that address your business continuity needs for different scenarios. There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to business continuity. And then you've got to eliminate this bad four-letter word that's called TAPE, tape. You're in a cloud-first world, there's no need for tape. If you're still using tape, there is some introspection to be done, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, you want to have solutions that are testable, because you don't want to come to a rainy day and actually not have a tested disaster recovery plan. And finally, you need something that's affordable and doesn't break the bank. So with all these in mind, let's actually look at the gamut of Microsoft solutions that are available in the business continuity space. And again, you'll be surprised that we have so much on offer. You probably hear about one or two of these solutions, but we want to present to you the full range of Microsoft business continuity solutions right here. Number one, for sort of local hardware failures, you have Hyper-V failover clustering. This provides you good VM-level resilience. Number two, for guest-level failover, guest-level clustering for app-level HA, for example, SQL Always On. Number three, if you're using Windows Server Backup, we have simplified backup with the Windows Server product itself. Number four, if you're using System Center, we have centralized backup solutions with Data Protection Manager. Number five, whether you're using Windows Server Backup or Data Protection Manager, we now have the ability for you to put your data up in the cloud with Microsoft Azure Backup. And also recently we announced long-term retention capabilities, which does help you eliminate any need for tape in your environment. And number six is disaster recovery solutions using Microsoft Azure Site Recovery. Azure Site Recovery is Microsoft's umbrella brand for DR. That allows you to protect any sort of environments, whether it's Hyper-V, VMware, physical sources, and lets you a choice to have either your own secondary site or Microsoft Azure as the secondary site when it comes to disaster recovery protection. Of course, this talk is focused on Azure Site Recovery and how you can use Azure Site Recovery as a hosting service provider to provide a business continuity solution for your customers. So let's dive into the Microsoft Disaster Recovery stack. What you see here at the bottom row is sort of the fabric. There's the compute, storage, and network. Definitely many hosting providers already have existing investments in storage. For example, SAN array-based storage. And with that, you already get storage-based replication. So last hour, the 3:15 talk, one of my colleagues announced storage-based replication support with Azure Site Recovery. So if you have environments with any storage-based deployments with NetApp, EMC, HP, we have a full list of partners that we are working with to enable this solution. You have today a solution with Azure Site Recovery. Moving up to the middle layer, you have virtual machines or physical machines. Here again, we have two types of replication technologies. One that is available with Windows Server 2012 is Hyper-V Replica. I'm guessing many of you are familiar with Hyper-V Replica. But more recently, a couple of months back, we acquired a company called InMarge Systems. And InMarge brings in a product and replication technology called InMarge Scout, which helps you replicate VMware, physical environments, and older Windows Server environments. And on the top layer, you have actual applications, for example, SQL Server, Active Directory, and so on. And many of these Microsoft applications come with their own native replication technologies that are best in class. For example, SQL Always On or Active Directory replication. So the promise with Azure Site Recovery is that we are the single pane of glass disaster recovery management solution, orchestration solution, that lets you provide a comprehensive DR package to your customers, no matter what their source environment is, and no matter which of these replication technologies they end up using. So with that being the DR stack, let's actually unveil what the scenarios are that you can enable with Microsoft Site Recovery. I did really unveil, so. All right, so left to right, there's actually two main cases in terms of broad scenarios. One is site-to-site protection, where you have your own primary and secondary data centers. And on the right is site-to-Azure protection, where you don't have a secondary data center and you end up using Microsoft Azure as your secondary site. Now, in each of these, we have two variations. The first one is with Hyper-V deployments. Give me one second. All right, sorry about that. So if you have a Hyper-V environment, you essentially can use Hyper-V Replica or SQL Always On or SAN to do DR between those two environments. That's the extreme left picture you see here. If you have VMware-based environments, both on the primary and secondary, we have InMarge Scout that is available for download through the Azure Site Recovery portal today. And it gives you a fully on-premise disaster recovery solution to manage both your VMware and physical environments on the source side and target it at a VMware environment on your recovery data center. Coming to the right side, if you have Azure, if you choose to have Azure as your disaster recovery site, earlier this month, we made generally available the DR to Azure capabilities for Hyper-V environments. This is what you can use for orchestration and replication with Hyper-V Replica or SQL Always On. And we are currently working on the ability to DR VMware or physical environments into Azure. This will come sometime early 2015 calendar year. So this gives you a full gamut of all the scenarios that are possible today and in the near future with Azure Site Recovery. And it gives you a flavor of the sort of breadth of offerings that we have. Our assertion is that with these capabilities that are coming out in the next few months, you will have a comprehensive package that you can use for any sort of source environments at your customer's site. And target, you have the flexibility to either use your own data centers or Azure data centers. So with that, let's double-click onto the service provider scenarios that we can enable. First, we'll start with Hyper-V environments. So if you have Hyper-V as your primary hypervisor where you're serving IaaS, Let's look at what are the scenarios that you can enable, what are the deployment topologies that you can enable. So obviously, the first one is DR between your own two sites. You have customers whose workloads you're hosting on your primary data center, and you want to DR them to your own secondary data center. For anybody who has multiple data centers, this is sort of the simplest disaster recovery model to deploy and release a commercial offer on. Now, if you see on the left side, we have a bunch of Hyper-V workloads that are being managed by System Center Virtual Machine Manager. And on the right, again, you have another Hyper-V cloud managed by System Center Virtual Machine Manager. We have a little plugin that we install through the Azure Site Recovery Portal called the DR Provider. That's what is being called DRP in this picture. And the DRP essentially lets you communicate to Microsoft Azure and orchestrate all your disaster recovery needs. A key point to note is that all DR traffic in terms of VM replication stays completely within your disaster recovery environment. So that extensible data channel that you see in the picture is basically an infrastructure network that you run between your primary and secondary data centers. All that Azure is helping you do here is orchestrate DR, and so there's only metadata that's passing through Azure data centers. All the VM replication traffic is 100% within your data centers. Now, this is a very common deployment model. We're working with several hosting partners, Tieto being one of them, that have already, you know, either deployed or are in the process of deploying. But one of the common asks that we have is if service providers have a Hyper-V-based cloud, they are deploying Azure Pack. Azure Pack is front and center to Microsoft Service Provider Cloud. So today, I'm super pleased to announce Azure Site Recovery integration with Microsoft Azure Pack, and also with the recently announced Cloud Platform System, our Azure-in-a-Box appliance offering. So it's all the same architecture, except you know you might be running Azure Pack on your own custom Hyper-V cloud, or you may end up buying CPS environments once they become publicly available. So let's look at what this would look like. Again, the picture remains more or less the same, except now on top of SCVMM, you have Azure Pack managing these environments. So you have your tenants that are logging on to your Azure Pack environments. You have service administrators that are configuring DR for those Azure Pack environments. Again, if you're ending up using CPS, you can have CPS stamps on the left and right, and you can do DR between those. So without much ado, let's jump straight into the demonstration, and we'll see how all this works. All right, so here, what you see here is I have two environments. On the left is my primary data center. On the right is my secondary data center, or DR site. And both are being managed by Azure Pack. First, let's take a look at the left side. Now, one of the things I want to call out is you're going to see about five portals here in this demonstration. There's going to be the Azure Pack on the primary, which has two portals, the service admin portal and the tenant portal. There's Azure Pack on the secondary with the service admin portal and the tenant portal. And then there is the Microsoft Azure portal where you'll use Azure Site Recovery. And we've done a tremendously good job to make all of these look alike. So please bear with me when I call out which portal we are using. One of the things I have done is, at least between the tenant portal and the service admin portal, I've themed them differently. So whenever you see the gray, we are in the tenant portal. Whenever you see the blue, we are in the service admin portal. So let's start on the left side, in the primary data center with a service admin portal. You'll see here that I have a few plans that I've created. Let's drill. You see the gold plan here. If I go to my add-ons, you'll also notice that I have a couple of DR add-ons that I've created. So I'm running Azure Pack UR4 here, which is going to be released this week, which is where this capability is getting introduced. If we drill down into one of these plans, let's say the gold plan, and you see that I have the DR add-on enabled here. If I go into VM clouds and scroll down, right at the bottom in the custom settings, we have this enable protection for all virtual machines. So this is a brand new Again, let's go down to the add-on and VM clouds for the add-on. If you see here, we have a brand new setting that's called Enable Protection for All Virtual Machines. When you enable this checkbox and add this to your plan, essentially what you're doing is advertising an offer to your tenants saying that with this particular VM cloud plan, you get disaster recovery built in. Now, you can charge more for it. There's various kinds of chargeback models that are available. But essentially, once you enable this, the system takes care via a couple of SMA runbooks how you can actually automate DR protection for these. So let's actually take a look. If I go into a tenant account, I have here a subscription. So I have a few virtual machines in this subscription, and I've also linked the DR add-on to this subscription. So as a tenant, I have now subscribed to a plan that has DR available, right? And I've also created a few virtual machines. I have about 4 virtual machines right here. Also, as the Fabric administrator, if I go to, now I'm right now on my local desktop. This is the Azure portal with ASR. So as the Fabric administrator of the service provider, I've actually protected the Gold Cloud on which the plan was exposed and mapped it to the Gold Cloud recovery. This is Azure Site Recovery, and we work in units of clouds. So we've actually mapped the Gold Cloud to Gold Cloud recovery. And if I drill in, you'll notice that there's one VM that has protection enabled. But if I go back to my primary data center, here in this account, I have 4 more VMs. So what I'm going to do now is actually kick off an SMA runbook that in the real world will actually be a scheduled runbook. So since you have this user who has subscribed to the DR plan, every 30 minutes or hour, depending on how you schedule it, this runbook will run. It'll go and pick up all the new subscriptions that have DR enabled and go and enable disaster recovery protection for them. But for purposes of this demo, I'm going to kick this off manually. Let me go into SMA on the primary site. Go up to runbooks. And I'm going to start this runbook. All right, so this is the runbook that will be scheduled in a real environment. So now let's minimize this and look at our secondary site. So if you look at the secondary site, this is the service admin portal of the secondary site. It's going to take a couple of minutes for the runbook to execute. Meanwhile, I'll show you how things look like before actual DR protection is enabled. So the admin has to create this gold plan recovery on the secondary site. It's okay to keep it private because this is just so that you can attach the replica VMs to a certain plan. If I look at the tenant login on the secondary site, right now there's no virtual machines that are here. But if the runbook completes, you're going to see the replica virtual machines show up here. And then at the time of failover, the tenant can actually log on to their secondary Windows Azure Pack portal and access these virtual machines as if they were using VMs on a daily basis. So let's minimize this. Come back to our Azure Site Recovery portal and go to the jobs view. So here's the runbook that's just starting. Let's give it a couple of minutes, and I'll switch over to slides and come back to actually see the runbook execution completed. So let me describe what's going on behind the scenes. I mentioned you have Azure you have this feature available with Azure Pack Update Release 4. We saw that DR as a plan, DR as a plan add-on property is now available as a first-class checkbox. So as a service administrator using Azure Pack, you can now enable DR and make it available as an offer to your customers. We have a couple of runbooks that we are going to ship with this solution. The first one looks on a periodic basis for any new subscriptions that are created in your environment and auto creates them on the recovery site. And then the second one will go and enable protection for any current or future created VMs. Again, it'll be a scheduled runbook, but it'll go and enable DR protection for you and provide full automation through this solution. Of course, when protection is enabled and you have a DR drill or a failover that you need to execute, you would have tenants that will see the replica VMs on the recovery site Azure Pack portal. So it'll be a full integration. They can start those VMs, stop those VMs, remote desktop into them. And for this entire automated solution, we have very rich monitoring that we are shipping through System Center Operations Manager. It provides both replication health monitoring and failover health monitoring. So let me switch back to see where we are with our runbook execution. So again, back to my demo machine. So as you can see in the jobs view now, you have four new jobs in progress. There are four enable protection jobs that have been kicked off by the runbook. These are the same four VMs that the tenant was using. So Contoso, Active Directory, Database, App Server, and Web Server. Again, this takes a couple of minutes, you know, and once it gets done, you'll see that in the tenant portal on the recovery site, you'll start seeing these VMs show up. I go here, there's still nothing, but once these jobs complete, you'll get to see, you know, these show up. So now one of the key things to note is that, you know, there are, you know, the solution allows you to use Windows Azure Pack if you have it in your environment. If you don't have a Windows Azure Pack in your environment today, you can continue to use just VMM. So this is not, one of the things I want to clarify is that this is not just an Azure Pack only solution. Of course, you know, as a service provider, we think there is a lot of value in you deploying and using Azure Pack. But if you don't have Azure Pack in your environment today, you can continue to use VMM. All right, so these jobs have completed. Let's go and look at the secondary site. So if I go and refresh. So this is my secondary site tenant portal. And you see now that you have the four replica VMs showing up here. They're obviously in stopped state. Azure Site Recovery doesn't require VMs to be running when actual replication is happening. This is unlike many other disaster recovery products out there. So, you know, this essentially shows that now the tenant has access to these replica VMs. If we issue a failover, these will start running in the recovery site, and they can then access, start, stop, remote desktop into these VMs. So that concludes this demonstration. Let's switch back to our slides. So obviously, you know, the hoster to hoster data center scenario is a key one that we believe a lot of customers can, a lot of service providers can start today. One of them is, one of our partners that has implemented this is Tieto. So I'd like to bring Daniel up on stage to talk about his experience with deploying Azure Site Recovery in this hoster to hoster environment. But before that, let's actually take a quick look at a video that introduces Tieto.
We have been in the business of delivering services for customers in Finland for 375 years. Our fundamental function is to make sure that letters, parcels, and various types of goods get from one place to another on time for our clients. The opportunity today is e-commerce packages and a host of logistical services.
Our 26,000 dedicated professionals provide logistics and e-commerce services in Finland, Scandinavia, Baltics, and Russia. On the human side, it was of extreme importance that we support equal opportunities for all our employees by providing shared tools that help evolve a common culture.
On the data side, it requires real-time flexibility, scalability, and security for critical data that couldn't be handled by our data centers alone. But to keep our business moving, we needed to move our IT into the cloud. To handle our cloud IT needs, We partnered with Tieto, the Nordic region's largest IT services company.
All our services are part of Tieto Productivity Cloud. With unified service governance, high level of self-service, and latest Microsoft technologies. The communication and collaboration is built on top of the solid Office 365 services for all Itella employees. We utilize Azure initially for company-wide user and group-level file sharing. With Tieto's own data centers in Finland and Sweden, we can meet tight legal customer requirements regarding the data sovereignty and location. Customer can choose the best combination from private cloud and Microsoft public clouds.
We now have the flexibility to scale and provision employees as the season requires.
Our partner Tieto and the Microsoft Azure cloud solution helps us provide excellence year-round without interruptions, no matter what the season or the weather.
So my name is Daniel Downing. I'm with Tieto, head of the Microsoft Servers Infrastructure and Operations. And I'm here to talk to you a little bit, but first of all, let's talk a bit about the background. Who is Tieto? If you're from the Nordics, you'll know us. If you're outside of the Nordics, you probably don't. We're the largest IT partner in the Nordics. We're also a very strong Microsoft Alliance partner, and we participate in the Cloud OS network as the highest tier there, so the gold level tier. And on behalf of Tieto, thank you very much for inviting us to present. Satu mentioned our Tieto Productivity Cloud. This is a hybrid cloud based on the Cloud OS network architectures. We have our traditional history as a dedicated server hoster. So we have a lot of dedicated windows on-prem. When we saw cloud coming, we took it as an opportunity to build a hybrid cloud offering. So we now have an offering whereby we've got the private cloud, which allows us to provide elastic capability to our customers, and then also Azure, so we can flick between the two. We have about 1,500 VMs. So to put it in context, CPS covers about 2,000 VMs, I think. And we have about 250,000 end users as well sitting on that Tieto Productivity Cloud. To put that in context, a typical large Nordic company probably has 8,000 employees. So if you're from America or if you're from the UK, these numbers might be looking quite small, but if you're from the Nordics, they're actually quite large. I did some quick calculations, and I was also thinking that actually, in terms of VMs, we've got less than 5% of our estate in Tieto Productivity Cloud, so we've still got a long way to grow, which is great. We're running mission-critical applications, so it's very, very important that we are able to do backup. As any service provider knows, there's a lot of unforeseen circumstances that can happen, from hacker attacks through to the very occasional blue screen. We still get them from time to time, but not so many. And then also the mismatches as well between the firmware of the Microsoft, the manufacturer HP, and third-party drivers into the storage channel, for example. So, if we look at the next slide, so the problem is basically we get some corruptions. These are kind of the three most common problems we've seen. We get LUN NTFS corruptions. We get accidental VM deletions. You know, this is much bigger now than a user just deleting a file. They actually go off and they maybe delete a virtual machine. And we also occasionally get disk failures at the storage level. So Microsoft's Cloud OS architecture is built at with resilience at the core. You assume that there's going to be sort of 5 to 15% failure rates on the VMs. So you build that into your architecture. So this is kind of a way of life of thinking. So we looked at the normal options in terms of the infrastructure. The challenge with those normal options, they're slow, they're expensive, and sometimes they can be complex. We're trying to automate as much as we can, We try and keep a very small team actually running the cloud. That means that we don't really want to step outside of that team's responsibility if we can do that. And Azure Site Recovery has enabled us to do that. So if we look at it, at the moment, we're not doing the site recovery up into Azure. We're just doing it between our data centers. And I think that's the beauty of the Microsoft solutions, is it gives us the flexibility to choose which options we want to go for. I think of the points on this slide, the key thing for me is the fast recovery. So we can recover the system very quickly, even complex systems. And it's all automated as well. So Gaurav pointed out that this is a key part of the cloud process. And the great thing is we're back onto OpEx. So there's no big front CapEx investment here. We don't have to create double the architecture, especially if we decide to use Azure. We don't have to create double the architecture in another data center. Gaurav mentioned about tapes. To put it into context, we had one case where there was some files that had been deleted, and the only way to get them back because of various other challenges was to go to the tape. And I was pretty astonished. It took us about, I think, 5 or 6 days to actually recover the files that were required. And all the way through, although we have a hugely high recovery rate, all the way through we were crossing the fingers because it's physical media, right? And obviously if you're using Azure, you're protected from that. Okay, so Gaurav mentioned that we're one of the first service providers to take this to a commercial offering. What does this mean? For us, it means 20 to 40% lower costs. We do pass those lower costs on to our customers, probably not quite the same amount of percentage, but it does mean that the customer is getting a much cheaper option than they would be if we were using the traditional old solutions. We've done this by doing value-added services. So what we basically do is we sell our core product, and then we sell these options on top. So it's kind of like insurance. We've got the three levels, gold, silver, bronze, and it's basically based on the RPO, right? And those are pretty good RPO times if you're comparing to the world of tape. So that's really good. And then our first customer, we're a service provider, and my area, managed services, deals with the infrastructure. We also have an organization dealing with the applications maintenance and development. So actually, it's kind of an internal sell. We've sold it to our own guys who are running a healthcare option called LifeCare. But on top of that, we've got real production applications running in real life. So running in Norway, Sweden, and Finland. It's a really good case because it's the medical sector. So it's somewhere where we really need to have the best solutions available and the best DR available. All right. I think when you go into these things for the first time, there's always a lot of lessons learned. And three things that we've learned here to pass on to you guys. First one is that you require outbound access on your firewalls. Do configure for the HTTPS. You want this to be as protected as possible. Number two, make sure your Azure subscription options are properly configured. The beauty of this system is that it's in the cloud, is controlled from the cloud. That's also a little bit the danger of the option. So you must make sure it's properly protected, because otherwise anyone would be able to get in and anyone would be able to stop and start your instances. But Microsoft make this very easy. And you can put on multi-factor authentication. That's what we use. And that's fine. That keeps it at the right level. And then we are a group of engineers. We're very, very proud of what we do. Quite often we'll go off and try and build things ourselves. One thing we've learned is actually InMarge has got a great range of features. So before doing that, do check out the features of InMarge. And the great thing as well is that InMarge can handle the many different VM environments that we see today. So I know Microsoft would like me to talk about Hyper-V all the time, but we actually have some VMware still in-house, and we have some other VM solutions as well. And we find that InMarge can handle all of those. Okay, Gaurav.
Thank you, Daniel. Hopefully that gave you a flavor of what it is to deploy Azure Site Recovery. And as Daniel concluded his portion of the talk, Microsoft realizes that the world is a heterogeneous environment, and that's why we made the investment in InMarch. You have a solution today with Azure Site Recovery that is the most broad-reaching on the planet, can handle any sort of virtual machines, any sort of physical environments, and also gives you the options to go to your own secondary site or to Azure. There is no other disaster recovery offering on the planet today that gives you this breadth of options, and we're continuing to innovate, right? Okay, so on this note, on the hoster-to-hoster DR scenario, we're still at the first scenario, and we're spending a lot of time on it because, you know, there's a lot of interesting things that we learned during the course of our explorations. One of the feedback items that we got from many of our service providers is that they don't want to go to Azure to manage this service. They already have their own custom management portals or control panels, if you may, and they'd like to see Azure Site Recovery integrated into those control panels, just like all the other services that they're managing. So again, it gives me great pleasure to announce that as of yesterday, we have on the Azure SDK, the Azure Site Recovery SDK that's available. So this is a full PowerShell and REST-based SDK. It's part of the Azure suite. So you know, you can go and actually script and automate all these activities like, you know, VM protection, failovers, monitoring those through PowerShell API or REST-based API. So again, the best way to show this is to jump into a demonstration. So I'm going to use PowerShell. This is, again, my primary data center. I'll walk you through a couple of common scenarios that, you know, you would want to script if you have a custom management portal. So, of course, the first step is to add your Azure account. So it says here that I'm already signed in. So it wants me to authenticate again. So that's step number one. Make sure that, you know, you're signed into the right Azure account that you want to, you know, where your Vault and other Azure Site Recovery assets are created. Next step is to actually import the Vault settings. So we have a concept of, you know, the Vault credentials file. So you have to actually import that to make sure that you have the actual Vault settings that are available to you so that you can do further operations on it. Once again, if I minimize and go to the Azure portal, you see that I'm doing all my operations on this hoster Vault that we're talking about. All right, next step is to actually create a VM and enable protection for it. So let me do that right here. So with this commandlet, what I'm doing, or with this commandlet and all the parameters, I'm actually creating a VM called test using the System Center Virtual Machine Manager PowerShell API, and I'm enabling protection on it using the ASR PowerShell API. Again, one of the things you'll notice is that the way this is designed, you can mix VMM, Azure Pack, ASR PowerShell commandlets, and that gives you a lot of flexibility and power to actually script your solution. So while this is going, again, if we go to the jobs view on the portal, in a couple of minutes, this will refresh to show the actual test VM that is created in VMM and its protection being enabled. But while that's happening, let's actually kick off another PowerShell 2. So if you go into my recovery plans, if you're familiar with ASR, we have a concept called recovery plan. Recovery plans lets you do full app orchestration and automation. Typically, you know, you don't want DR for individual virtual machines. What you really want is DR for your applications, such that when you actually fail over, the entire application comes up in the right form you want. For example, if it's a three-tier application, you can script to actually, you can use the recovery plan to actually have your database tier come up first, your middle tier after that, and your app tier at the end. So that's what recovery plan gives you. It's sort of the key feature that lets you do all this automation and push button orchestration. So what I have here is an existing recovery plan called SDK demo that has a VM that I've already protected. So if I go into my protected items, there's a VM here called SDK demo VMRP. So I put that into the recovery plan. So what I'm going to do now is actually use PowerShell with the new Azure Site Recovery SDK and invoke a failover of this recovery plan. So that's this commandlet right here. So I can issue a failover. What this commandlet is doing is basically doing the failover, it's committing the failover, and it's also starting reverse replication so that after the failover, the VM is protected from the secondary site to the primary site. So both these are going in parallel. The first one, which enabled protection, let's go see where that is at. So if I go back to my jobs view, you'll see here's the test VM that we created with the first PowerShell commandlet, and enable protection is in progress for that. And here's the second commandlet with a planned failover on our SDK demo recovery plan. So let's again, you know, give this a couple of minutes. I'm going to sort of summarize what you just saw and come back to close out the demo. Azure Site Recovery SDK is, as of today, available as part of the Azure SDK. It's on GitHub. All of the Azure SDK is open source, so even our code is open source and available on GitHub. What this allows our hosting service providers to do is integrate ASR into their custom management portals and control panels and give their administrators a single pane of glass. So they don't have to go to the Azure portal just to manage their DR offering. Scenarios that we have enabled in the first release, I showed you VM protection and failover and recovery plan management. Of course, if there are errors or if anything goes wrong, you have rich monitoring data coming through this API. So you can actually build a rich sort of monitoring capabilities using these API. And as I demonstrated with the first commandlet that we executed, we actually designed this in a way where you can use SCVMM and ASR commandlets from a single script. So this gives you a lot of power and flexibility. Let's see where we are with our demonstration. So I go back here. And refresh my jobs view. By the way, while this is refreshing, this is the GitHub page where we went live yesterday. So the 8.10 version is the one which has the Azure Site Recovery SDK, so it's available for download as of last night. So this might take a couple more minutes. If this is not completed, we'll continue with the rest of the talk, and while we get to the next demo, we'll see this. So the final, the test VM enable protection has completed. That's still in progress. It's finalizing protection. And the planned failover is also in progress. So we will come back for one more demonstration, and by that time, hopefully this is done. But the point was to give you a flavor of, you know, the capabilities of the Azure Site Recovery SDK that we have enabled in this first release. Now, that concludes all the hoster-to-hoster scenario announcements and new features that we wanted to talk about. We move on now and look at some of the other scenarios, still staying in the Hyper-V environments, right? Obviously, if you don't have a secondary data center, the key value proposition with Azure Site Recovery is that you can use Azure as your secondary data center. That's what this picture is showing in the second scenario that we want to talk about. The big change here, of course, is that your secondary data center is now Microsoft Azure. And in order to enable that, since replication of VM traffic is now going from your source environment to your target Microsoft Azure, the addition to your environment is that you need to have host agents that are installed on all your Hyper-V hosts. These are agents that are going to actually replicate traffic into Azure, and they sit on each of your Hyper-V hosts which are hosting your VMs. So other than that, you can use Azure Pack, an optional thing. You can use you need to have System Center Virtual Machine Manager and the DR agent that we call DR provider sitting on your VMM machine. So this picture explains sort of how you can do DR to Azure. One of the common questions we get from our hosting partners when you're actually talking about using Azure as a recovery site is the fact that today, when you're using your own secondary data center, you can provide some level of isolation, some control to actually have your tenant workload separated and access actually isolated so that one tenant cannot access stuff on another tenant's environment. This was a key ask when we were designing this hoster to Azure solution, because hosting partners wanted to keep that ability while they're using Azure as their DR site. So again, I'm happy to announce that with the release of DR to Azure earlier this month, we actually have built-in capabilities for tenant isolation, so which essentially means that if you have three or four tenants that you are doing DR for, and you manage their DR with Microsoft Azure as the DR site, you can actually keep each of them in a separate isolated environment where compute, network, and storage are all only dedicated and used by them, and none of the other tenant environments can actually access those, right? All this with the ability for you to offer a managed DR service where you get a proper bill and you can pass that on to your tenants based on their respective usage. So let's take a view on this feature with a little bit of a drill down picture. Again, on the left is your primary data center. On the right is Microsoft Azure. In your data center, you have System Center Virtual Machine Manager with the DR provider, Azure Pack sitting on top of it. On the right, since you're offering a managed DR service, remember that DR is pretty complicated. Most of your customers will come to you saying, hey, manage my DR for me, right? So as a managed DR provider, you have a master billing account that you create. Azure provides you the ability to have a management subscription. This is where you go and create your ASR vault. And then when you have your tenants start showing up, let's say you have tenant number one who comes in and creates a bunch of VMs, you go and create a tenant subscription under your master billing account. So this tenant subscription, you know, will have its own storage account. That's where you create your virtual networks for that particular tenant. And when you enable VM replication, you're actually replicating VM data into that particular tenant's isolated storage account. So this ensures that, you know, the tenant gets a dedicated storage account which is specific only to their use and is not shared with any other tenant tenant information. Now, the other important thing here is by virtue of this facility that Azure allows you to have in the same directory multiple subscriptions, the tenant can now log on to Azure and see only their stuff and not anybody else's stuff. They don't have access to the ASR vault, which is owned by the hoster. They don't have access to any other tenant's information. So again, continuing with the concept, if tenant two logs on, creates a bunch of VMs, you as the hosting service provider, DR admin, create another subscription for that tenant. All of VM replication now goes into that new storage account that's there inside tenant two. And eventually, when you have to fail over VMs, the failovers also result in the VMs actually showing up in the respective storage accounts, in the respective tenant subscriptions. So one of the cool things about this solution is that as the hoster, you own the billing account, so you get a bill for individual subscriptions under that account. You can then pass on that bill to your individual customers. But as a tenant, I get guaranteed isolation. I don't have to worry about my stuff being mixed with other customers' stuff. So that's very important when we when you start thinking about hoster to Azure scenarios. So again, let's do a quick demonstration. And again, so here are recovery plans. The PowerShell commandlets, one of them completed. The other one is still in progress, should complete in a little bit. All right. So I come to, we stay here. So this is, again, my master subscription. If I go back under hoster vault to protected items. So if you go to Azure, you see this option on the top right that says subscription. So this is my billing account or master subscription, but I also have created one tenant account under that same master subscription. This is the second one that I just checked. And when I say apply, now I'll start seeing resources from both these subscriptions in my Azure environment. So right now I'm showing you the view where I am the hoster, and therefore, you know, I'm sort of the master administrator on this entire Azure subscription, right? So here you see there's a few new entities that show up that belong to that particular customer. If I go to my primary data center, I'm going to the Azure Pack tenant portal. I'm going to sign out here. I'm going to log in as a tenant who needs DR in this DR to Azure environment. So let me log back in. So this is the tenant environment, and I have a single VM here that says SharePoint. And if I see my account here, I have subscribed to the bronze plan. This is the bronze plan. And the bronze plan has DR enabled. So again, it has DR enabled here. So again, if I minimize, go back to Hoster Vault. Now I'm back in the Azure Site Recovery Portal. Go to Protected Items. As the hosting admin, if I go under Bronze Cloud, I see that SharePoint is enabled. Now, if I switch my views, right now as the hoster admin, you can see I can see all my clouds. You know, in the previous demo, I was using the Gold Cloud. I can see that. I have a Silver Cloud. I have Bronze. I can see all of these. If I switch my view to be just the tenant view, so right now I'm checking only the tenant subscription, and say apply, you'll notice that this entire view changes. Again, another way to do this demonstration is to sign out of the Azure portal and sign in as the tenant, right? But all I'm doing is, just showing you one view where you can only see that particular tenant's data, right? So if I come here, again, I see only my storage account, and I see only my VMs. If I go to recovery services, which is where all the ASR stuff is, I don't have access to the ASR vault because I'm logging in as the tenant, right? It's only the hoster who has access to the ASR vault. This is a managed DR offering, so the hoster actually controls when to do DR drills, when to issue failovers, and so on. Now, if I re-enable and go back into my management subscription, the demo I'm going to do right now is to enable protection, show you that this is actually paired to the storage account that lies inside tenant one. So you do go to Hoster Vault, see protected items, go to the Bronze Cloud and see its properties. So I've configured this to only go to this My Storage account 12345, which is the tenant one storage account. So anytime you enable VM replication, it goes into this isolated storage account. As a second tenant, I don't have access to this. My hoster has access to the management subscription, and so he gets a bill for usage here, and he can issue the bill back to me. So if I were to kick off, let's say I go in and kick off a test on this particular VM. So I'm going to do a test failover. So as a managed service provider, I'm issuing a DR drill on request of my customer. What will happen now is that there's a test VM that gets created, that will get created in the tenant one subscription. So when tenant one logs on, he's able to see those VMs, he's able to test his DR. when tenant 2 or anybody else logs on, they have no access to any of this. So as a hosting service provider, you have full flexibility to do what you are used to doing if you were offering DR from your own environments. Yes, please. Is there a question? Let me repeat the question. So the question is, can the client come with his own Azure subscription and his own Active Directory tenant? So yes, the client can come with their own Azure subscription. In this case, what they'll need to do is they'll need to make you, the hosting admin, a co-administrator. And then as long as they're in the same directory, right? So again, if you see, Azure has this concept of directories. So as long as you're under the same directory, you can basically do this functionality that I just demonstrated. No, so the whole management billing account works only at a directory level, right? So unless you have to either put your account into that tenant's directory or make the tenant's directory tenant account show up in this directory. There's a way to change directories, by the way. So when it says here manage subscription / directory, you can go in and request the tenant to actually change directory and come back into your directory, right? So that's still possible. Again, the ideal experience is when a tenant comes on, you as the admin under your directory go and create a new subscription for that tenant. All right, let's switch back over to our presentation and recap what you just saw. So hoster owns the billing of the Azure subscription. The hoster creates the subscription, ASR vault. That is where the SCVMM is registered. Tenants do not have access to this management subscription. The HSP, creates new Azure subscription per tenant. This was the point we were just discussing right now. And all the VM replication happens in the storage account of that particular tenant. Given we are talking about managed DR, any actions like DR drills or failovers are issued by the hoster. And at the time of a failover, the VM instance shows up in the right Azure subscription that belongs to that tenant. And finally, there is a bill that's issued from the hoster that, is split up per tenant subscription. All right, so let's move on and talk about, other scenarios. So far, we've been only talking about hosted workloads, right, where you as a hoster have the primary data center and customers are bringing their workloads and you're hosting it for them. Now, disaster recovery as a service is very interesting even for those scenarios where customers have their data running on their own data centers and actually want to come to your data center only for DR. So that's what this picture is showing here. If you have Hyper-V 2012 environments, you have two customers. You can actually, and again, all the software requirements are the same. They need to have SCVMM. They need to install the DR provider. And you can use ASR to actually manage this deployment and have them DR into your data center. Now, if you don't have your data center, the same topology, but scenario number 4 is you can actually use Azure. So in this case, you're not a hosting service provider. You're actually only a managed service provider because you're actually managing their DR. It's going from their customer data center into Microsoft Azure. Okay, so this wraps up the section on 2012 environments, Hyper-V environments. The next section is on VMware and physical environments. And again, here I'm not going to do demonstrations because tomorrow at 10:15 we have a full InMarch deep dive that where we are going to go through detailed demonstrations on various aspects of InMarch and InMarch Scout, which is what powers this scenario for VMware and physical environments. But again, in terms of topologies and deployment options, we have the same 4 scenarios. So the first one is between two hoster data centers. Here I need to explain some of the InMarch concepts because these are new. When you have this deployment topology where you have VMware and physical environments, there are a few new software requirements that show up. So the little bars you see, the circles you see here are guest agents that we call the mobility service. Given that InMarch is a guest-based technology and works on any hypervisor or physical machines, You have to deploy these agents on all of your virtual machines or physical servers. And then you have a central server called the process server, which is sort of acting as the gateway. One of the questions we often get asked is, hey, if you're deploying guest-based agents, how is that going to impact performance of my customer's production workloads? The process server is essentially the answer to that. We actually have nearly zero impact on both CPU and IOPS on the source VMs because we're capturing those writes in memory and sending them off to the process server. It's the process server which can be either a virtual appliance or a physical appliance, and it is the one that's doing the caching, compression, and then packing the data and sending it over the network. So really don't have any impact on the source VMs itself. On the recovery side, you have the master target, which is sort of the receiving server. This is the server that's getting all the replication traffic and storing it and retaining it. And we also have the config server, which is sort of the configuration management orchestration head. It's managing the orchestration for DR that's going on between the two sites. And in a multi-tenant environment, we also have what is called the RX server that serves like the multi-tenant portal, hoster management portal. It provides a hoster view. It also provides a tenant view that tenants can log on and look at their stuff. So again, if you do not have a secondary data center, we are, as I mentioned earlier, we are working on the ability to take VMware and physical workloads and DR them into Azure. So this is a future picture. It's not available today. But essentially, the concept remains the same. Each of the customers that comes into Azure has their subscription where they'll run their config server and master target, and all their stuff gets replicated there. Whenever a failover happens, it shows up there. Again, if a second customer shows up, you have another config server and master target combination. Moving on, if you have customer workloads that you want to DR into your own environment, this is the disaster recovery as a service scenario. Again, for each customer in your environment, you'll have a combination of a config server and master target, and the RX server, which acts as the multi-tenant management portal, helps you orchestrate DR and provide multiple tenants' logins and their ability to come and access their failover VMs. The last scenario, again, which is a future-looking scenario, is customer workloads to Azure. Once again, you don't have your own data center, but you can manage DR for your customers and take their replicated VMs into Azure. So that sort of concludes all the material that we had. One of the things that I want to announce today, it's not just about technology. We also are working on how do we make it easier for our hosting partners to actually create DR offers, understand this technology, understand the various options available, and start creating new opportunities for them in terms of premium DR businesses. So we're announcing and launching this week, again, what we call the ASR Kit. This is a go-to-market package that is being made available. If you are a CloudOS network partner, it will be made available on the CloudOS network sign-up site that's there on Microsoft.com. Otherwise, you can work with your Microsoft counterpart, your account manager, or technical salesperson to get access to all this material. This is a comprehensive go-to-market material with many different, technology, solution descriptions, and also value calculators that let you do, sort of ROI analysis on which option you should go with because we have all these offerings. And we also have a lineup of SI partners, system integrators that we are training and readying up to help with your deployments in case, you need any help with starting off with your disaster recovery as a service offering. So that's basically it. Like I mentioned earlier, tomorrow morning at 10:15, we have the InMarch Scout deep dive session. Definitely attend that. Also at 5 o'clock tomorrow, we have a deep dive on DR to Azure. So we go into much more detail on all the capabilities when you use Azure as your recovery site. And finally, under the BCDR umbrella, the third talk you see here is on Friday morning. This is the talk on backup with long-term retention, how you can get rid of tape, and so on. So there's a drill-down talk on that, too. And there are many other talks. Some of these have already happened. Recordings will be available. Also, we're going to be available. A bunch of my colleagues are also here. But if you don't grab us here or if you have a question overnight, we're all going to be there at the business continuity booth at the Microsoft Pavilion. So please come and find us and chat up and let's have a conversation. This is a useful slide. I definitely encourage you to download the deck later. It's a comprehensive list of all of our public-facing documentation that's there. The things that are missing here are the ASR SDK. We'll blog about this later this week so you can get access to the site. But again, it's very simple. It's on the Azure SDK. So if you go to the latest Azure SDK and download it, you get the Azure Site Recovery SDK. That's about it. Do fill out your evaluations when you get a chance. And we're open for questions. You have a microphone here. We have, some people who are willing to help. If you want to have ask a question, please grab the microphone or just shout out, and I'll repeat the question for the recording. He's with me co-presenting. Yeah. Any questions? Any of you thinking about DR as a service, have evaluated Azure Site Recovery? Any thoughts on how this might work out for you? Yes, please.
Thank you. I'm looking to doing a DR between my on-premise virtual machine to the Azure directly. I tried, actually, but I found that the virtual machine will not be created until I doing test failover or actually doing the failover in real scenario. Mm-hmm. So it will be I will be paying for the virtual machine if it's not created or not.
Okay,
In this period.
Great question. So the question is, when you're doing DR to Azure, would I be paying for the virtual machine unless I actually have the VM created in the case of a test failover or an actual planned or unplanned failover? So the answer is that you don't pay for any compute till the failover has actually happened, right? So one of the key things is with Azure Site Recovery, you don't need the VMs to be running in Azure when you're replicating. So they are in shutdown state. You're consuming storage based on the size of your virtual machine. But again, with the ASR license, you get up to 100 GB of storage per VM free, right? So as long as you've paid for the Azure Site Recovery license, unless you have a really large virtual machine or physical machine, if you're using InMarch, you have actually up to 100 GB storage free. You also have 1 million IOPS free and 100 GB egress bandwidth for your reverse replication free. So this all comes with the ASR Enterprise Agreement license, right? So the short answer is no, you're not paying for any compute. You're also probably in most cases not paying for storage also because in majority of the cases, your virtual machines are not going to be greater than 100 GB, right? But if they are, you pay for that little bit overage for storage. And then whenever you do a test failover, let's say you're testing for 8 hours in a month, for that duration, you pay for those VMs compute costs. So you'll get a separate bill for that.
Okay, great.
All right? Thank you. Go ahead, please.
When you, is there a pack to Azure? Can you seed that via something, or does it just travel over the a secure channel to Azure?
Sorry, could you repeat that? So when I come back from Azure?
No, when you're trying to get your Azure pack virtuals, your tenant virtuals to Azure, can you seed that, and post it to Azure, or do you have to just transport it over the internet?
Okay, so I think the question is, if I'm using Azure as my recovery site, can I send offline my initial VM rather than syncing it over the network? So that's great feedback. Today, we don't have that capability, but we're looking at the Azure import-export capability that's available. So in a future iteration, we'll have the ability to actually ship the initial VM copy over to Azure and seed it up straight offline, right, without having to use up network traffic. But that's definitely something on our roadmap. Sorry, what's the question? Okay, so Manoj is a colleague of mine who works on the DR to Azure scenario. So if you could chat up with him after the talk to talk about kind of the sizes you're looking at and you know how much savings you'd get if you had this feature, we can talk about that.
No, that's okay. I'll just swing where I am.
Yep. Any other questions?
Sorry.
One there, and then we'll come to you.
Does the Azure Site Recovery also cover SQL Server workloads, IIS websites, and all the other services, or is it focused on virtual machines? And the second part of the question is, does it also cover, let's say, all the configuration settings that are doing in the Azure Pack portal, like adding a new plan, adding a new subscription? Is that kind of data also replicated between the two sites?
Okay, great questions. So the first one is ASR focused only on IaaS, or can it also do stuff for PaaS roles? So today we are primarily focused on infrastructure as a service VMs. But again, you know, if you're talking about SQL Server inside IaaS, like we mentioned, you can use SQL Always On and orchestrate those along with your recovery plan. So you can use a combination of SQL Always On for your database tier, use Hyper-V Replica for your upper tiers and so on. But for Azure websites or, you know, other PaaS services, we don't have a DR solution using ASR yet. They're all using their native mechanisms today. So we are primarily focused on customer workloads that are running as infrastructure as a service. Now, the second question you had was, in the Azure Pack case, does ASR also replicate things like subscriptions and other metadata that's associated with an account? Did I get it right? So we do some helper jobs, what I call helper jobs, with our runbooks. So for example, in the demonstration you saw, if you have a tenant who's subscribing to a DR-enabled plan, our runbooks go and actually replicate that subscription with the same subscription GUID on the recovery site. But that's more of a, you know, one-time helper job, right? It's not keeping the subscriptions in sync. For example, tomorrow, you know, the tenant goes and adds certain resources. We're not going to constantly keep that in sync. So all we're doing is enabling the DR scenario with as much automation as we can. We're not doing other things like, you know, syncing subscriptions and others. So again, it boils down to our focus is to do DR for infrastructure as a service VMs, and that's what we're doing right now. Of course, with Azure Pack, we want to make sure that, you know, we can give the service provider as much automation as possible. So that's what we are doing with our runbooks. Did that answer your questions? Okay. Your question, please.
I was asking about the security in ASR, because we are planning to do that. And I was really worried about security, because we have some servers which are really mission critical, and you don't want that to be just in somewhere which is not secure enough.
Great question. So again, tomorrow in the DR to Azure talk, we're going to talk in deep detail about this. But the short answer is, if you're doing DR to Azure, we absolutely understand that it's very critical for customers to have their data secure. So we have full encryption at rest support. So whatever, you know, gets replicated into Azure, you as the customer has the ability to encrypt it and own the key. So nobody, including, you know, people who are in the Azure operations team, has access to any of that data. That's one answer to your question for the DR to Azure scenarios. The second one is for the site-to-site scenarios where you have orchestration happening through Azure. Again, we run everything through HTTPS, and we require only outbound connectivity from your cloud, from your VMM into Azure, right? So there is no inbound calls into your data center that are ever made. And even the outbound traffic, we're only sending metadata like VM names and VM IDs, and those are also encrypted, right? So it's all going over HTTPS, and it's secure. One more point I want to add is we, as part of all the Azure certifications, we've gone through various levels of security approvals. You know, we are going through a bunch of certifications for various compliance needs. In fact, the European Union has certified Azure on various parameters, and Azure Site Recovery benefits from that certification. So security is definitely top of mind in terms of design principles. And you know, if you come to the talk tomorrow at 5 o'clock, you can learn more about sort of, you know, the deep details on, particularly in the DR to Azure scenario, there are a lot of concerns, right? Because data is sitting in public cloud. What happens, you know, if there is a breach and so on. So we have a lot of deep security measures in place to handle all those concerns.
And can I say a few words on that as well? So I gave a few hints and tips of what we did practically around security. The other thing to do is involve Microsoft as well. So, you know, if your customers are concerned about the security, you can go to the data centers. You can visit those with the customer and Microsoft. And that's really impressive. And there you really see that the on-site people have no idea what data is stored on the machines. The data is split over all sorts of different machines, so it's quite impossible for them to see. I think that's probably all I want to say.
I think the point to reemphasize, I think that Tieto used and Daniel mentioned is Azure has multi-factor authentication, so we definitely recommend that, you know, for your Azure Site Recovery Vault as the hosting service provider or as a customer, you definitely use MFA so that you have another level of protection. It's not just that your Microsoft account is compromised and you lose all your Azure stuff, right?
And they also have quite good legal counsel support as well. So when we were at the Enterprise Partner Summit in Cannes about 3 weeks ago, there was the Microsoft Legal Counsel there, and they've got a lot of war stories around, you know, defending the data, what's in there, how confidential it is as well. So reach out to Microsoft if your customers are having any questions in this area.
Cool. I think we're almost out of time. Thank you very much for attending. Hope it was useful, and we'll be around if you want to chat more. Thank you.